my intention is not to let him have it for a little while.
I tell you, Kevin, first of all, there isn't a single professional in this room who's as professional as you are. So,
no way. Not even
my
close.
Goodness. And I think that's a lesson to any young broadcaster who's listening, anyone with broadcasting. Kevin Harlan, top of his craft, air checks the hell out of himself. Wow. I think that's fascinating. Back to the Super Bowl for one more football question before we ask if you got a proper amount of pool time and hopefully a few umbrella drinks while you were in Miami, Kevin. What did you think of the offensive pass interference on Kittle? Not necessarily letter of the law, which was violated, but I thought that they were letting him play, except in that maybe one play.
You know what? I tend to agree. We had Gene Steratore up in our booth, and as we were going to a break after that segment, I think we all, and I looked at Kurt as well, and the three of us kind of agreed that was pretty either way. He may have had his arm extended, and there may have been, you know, maybe that definition of a bar, but I don't know. I got to be honest. I'm really of the feeling that should have probably been allowed. And like you say, they were letting them play, and that was a huge play. That was a game in an interesting part of the game, certainly, and that was a big play. So I guess I had not seen as many of those during the game. That one was probably as in focus as any. And a guy like Kittle, what people don't realize with these tight ends. Is they're playing like every position on the field except quarterback, right? They're running the ball, as you saw with Kelce, and we've seen tight ends in this league get direct snaps. We see them on jet sweeps and jet sweep passes. We see them blocking on the line. We see them catching the ball. We see them blocking downfield for other receivers. I mean, like, they're doing everything. And I think when you're in that mode and in that mentality, unlike a receiver, unlike a running back, unlike an offensive lineman, when you're doing everything like these tight ends, sometimes, man, you're just kind of looking out, trying to survive. And so I guess I kind of feel like that may have been a little tough. Now, I think Vinovich is one of the great officials in pro football, so I will tell you that I respect him immensely. But that call was a little questionable. I would agree with you.
Did Steratore agree with you? And if he did not, did you offer to fight him?
Well, first of all, Gene would kick my behind, number one. He has still got the grip. And number two, my recollection is, and, you know, that was a while ago, and I'm going back literally at the top of my head right now, it was one of those plays, honest to God, where we looked at each other and said, it really could have gone either way. I mean, it was not as defined as you might think. So I think when a guy like Steratore says that, it becomes pure judgment. And what you think and what your feel was and what your view was. And so, you know, I think you could put 10 guys in that position. Five would call it one way and five would call it the other. I think they felt, I'm not putting words in their mouths, but I think they felt, I felt that it could have gone either way for sure.
So I want to jump over to the basketball world because I've had enough of the depressing football stuff for now. Obviously,
if this is a Warrior question, rethink.
I'm ready for the depressing basketball stuff. Okay, the Warriors are not in any sort of competition other than the one for potentially the number one overall draft pick. There seems to be a split around here between people who think, "Hey, get what you can for D'Angelo Russell now. Take a scorer off the team, probably get you in that number one draft pick, and also you don't want to end up with him next year." Other people say we got to wait till the offseason and see what's out there. Do you lean towards one of those two camps?
Well, you know, Clay and Steph are coming back, and you know you're going to get a high pick, and you're developing the back half of your roster right now. I'm guessing that a free agent is in there too. I mean, like, this they're just going to pick up where they left off, in my opinion. And I don't know if Russell is a luxury. Now, I don't know where they feel like they can go and get some, like, value-added pickup, a guard on a team that is out that is going to come in and fit maybe a more significant, better role, complementary role, I think is the word I'm looking for, more complementary role to your big two in the backcourt. You know, I don't know how they're thinking. I think they've got enough sample size to judge what it was like. It's not much, certainly, but what it's like with him in there. D'Angelo is a talented player. We know that. We saw it. He's an all-star, high assist man last year for Brooklyn. I get all that. But you might be able right now to garner maybe a little bit more for him. from a team that might be a little bit more willing, a little bit more in dire straits in that kind of a feel than you might in the summer when it's a little bit more relaxed and you've just drafted a kid and your cap is filling up and everything else. I think you get some pretty smart minds over there. I would say this, and if I were a Warrior fan, this is the way I would look at it. If they do trade him, I trust what they think and how they manipulate their roster and what they see. And if they don't, I trust that too because they feel they're going to need that third guard, all-star guard, and somewhere along the line, you're going to play all three of them perhaps out there at the same time. I don't know, but they might, and when they do. But I think they know enough of what they've seen in the very small sample size of D'Angelo with the other guys, what they've got when the other two come back. So I guess I would just trust the process, and they've made very few mistakes, and I would whatever they think and come up with, I would trust and move on with that.
Golden State Warriors, Kevin Harlan, used to bring you into town on a large sample size because they were on national TV all the time. Not so much. When's the next time you're coming back to Chase Center? Is it on the schedule at all?
Yeah, I think we're in there against Toronto, actually. I think that, you know, because before the season began, we got that game, and I think they thought, hey, this might be a hell of a nice little rematch here between these two. But as it turns out, it's a little bit different. We've lost some of the main characters from that series of a year ago. But we are coming back in there. But listen, the Warriors have given us, last two games we've done them, they've given us two terrific games. It was an overtime game against Denver, then a good game up in Portland. And I love the fight. And, you know, listen, this is the way I kind of look at it. Right now, they are taking those last five, six, seven spots on their roster, and they're going to have the strongest damn bench in the league. I mean, whatever happens to Russell, it happens. But they are going to have, like, this team that is so complete from tip to tail with the minutes these kids are getting right now. They'll lose one or two, certainly. But my goodness, they have got, you know, they're staying in the culture. And I always thought this, too, when Shanahan lost Garoppolo, like, they didn't stop developing these young kids or change things to fit what the kids could do. Or you know, not they were continuing to push the culture that Lynch and Shanahan wanted to establish. They kept pushing the offensive philosophy. Like, just because Garoppolo was gone with the knee that he blew at Arrowhead, they were not going to just change everything and do all this other stuff. No, they were sticking with the plan. They were going to make sure they continued to get their players in the right frame, that when Garoppolo came back and they had the guy they wanted at quarterback, that everything, you know, nothing was going to change. Same kind of cadence, same plays, same philosophy, same culture. So that's what the Warriors are doing. And so it's interesting that both these franchises have faced this kind of this dramatic change because of big names being gone. But in the end, you may take a step back, but you're taking two or three forward. And that's how I see the Warriors, as we just saw the Niners.
Kevin, thank you so much. And let me just say, you know, anyone can call a great Super Bowl. Not everyone does. You certainly do. But making a throwaway Warriors Trailblazers game feel like a game seven, which you did the other night. I mean, Lillard gave you a lot to work with. He had 61 on him. But your call of that game is why, sir, you are the best at what you do. We are honored to talk to you as always. And I'm going to tell you what, take the next air check off. You're good.
You guys are fun to be with. Thank you for having me on, and I sure appreciate the nice words, Damon. Thank you very much, and hope you all have a great day. Thank you.